T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Shield's going to join us here in a second. He's actually holding, so I want to play the so this is yesterday, media availability. Jason Kelce's at his locker, and you know, you're one of the leaders on the team, and you're 4-5, and you're losing to the Cowboys at home. Mm-hmm. These are the questions that you're going to get. Everybody wants to know why. Here's what happened yesterday.
Biggest thing that you see, in my opinion, this team the last year, at least offensively, is the cohesion, the people being accountable to the job that they're asked to do, everybody being on the same page. You know, last year it just seemed like everything was clicking. Everybody, you know, we had guys like, you know, Brent Celek, who had been here a long time, who was very accountable, Torrey Smith, who had been in the league for a long time.
Can't even pay attention to what he's saying.
You know, Matt Collins is a guy that gave great effort. You know, Garrett Blount, all these running backs that, you know, they had their limited amount of stuff that they had to know, but they knew what to do, and they knew how to do that, those things. That's what we're missing. I mean, we're missing that accountability. And we're missing everybody just doing their job, understanding. And it's hard. There's little fine coaching details, little things that you know, make a big difference at the end of the day. And you know, those are the things that we're not getting done on a consistent enough basis.
Right, so he said, so like he says, lack of accountability, and he rattled off all the veterans that were there last year and says, we're missing these guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Malcolm didn't hear what he said, but Malcolm was told, and I believe Tim McManus is doing the Q&A. So here's a Q&A just a couple minutes later with Malcolm.
Kelce said that he feels the accountability has fallen off a little bit.
When did you say that?
Just now.
Oh, okay.
A few minutes ago. Not that guys aren't trying or don't care or anything like that, but with the loss of some veterans like Celek, et cetera, that maybe it's just not there in full like it was last year. Are you sensing that?
No. I mean, this is me personally. I think, you know, Kelce probably sees things that I don't. But, that wouldn't be my assessment. But, you know, I think his opinion for him is probably accurate.
For him, it's accurate. Well, of course, it's for him, it's accurate.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't say that was a hard disagreement, but clearly he was saying, like, nah, I mean, I don't see that.
Right. Well, the thing that's hard to, I guess, to get from that, those two cuts is, you know, whether or not Jason is speaking specifically about his side of the football.
Right.
Or he's talking about the overall team. And sometimes that will happen because guys typically only like to speak to the side of the ball
they're
playing on, out of respect for the guys on the other side of the football. You don't speak about what's going on over there.
Well, and he did bring up LeGarrette Blount and Brent Celek.
He brought up offensive players.
Right,
yeah.
He did. Shield Kapadia of The Athletic joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock. Shield, do you feel like that there's a lack of accountability on either side of the ball this year? What's going on, man?
Yeah, you know, I was there for both those interviews, and Jason Kelce spoke for about 10 or 12 minutes, and I think, Ike, you are correct. You know, when I was trying to hammer down, you know, I said, what do you mean by accountability, and trying to get some examples out of him. Every example he did give was on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, it was kind of a general statement, but he's talking about, you know, we've shuffled running backs in and out, and we're very young there, and we lost a veteran tight end, and we sort of, you know, replaced him with a rookie. And on the offensive line, we've had some injuries and some new guys. And so, you know, accountability can be a very strong word when you're 4-5 and people are wondering what the state of the locker room is. And so I was trying to get a little bit more of an explanation. And what I gathered is that, number one, it spoke to some of the habits, you know, the habits that maybe a veteran player has day in and day out. The guy can be trusted, knows his assignments on Sunday. You don't have to worry about it. You know, when you have turnover in the off season and you lose some of those vets, the habits of some of the newer guys might not be as good. And then, as I said earlier, I think it also has to do with kind of the lack of continuity and guys coming in and out and losing something there. So that was my sense of what he was speaking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you see when you're in there? You've been in there for you've been covering the Eagles for a long time. What do you see with his locker room, accountability, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see a whole lot of lack of effort. Now, I will say the first thing that creeped up, where kind of my ears perked up a little bit this week, was when Jim Schwartz was talking about, if you remember the play where the Cowboys had like a 17-yard gain, and then they went no huddle, and Dak Prescott had the QB sneak from the one-yard line. And, you know, Jim Schwartz was asked about that, and he said that one was really hard to swallow, indicating that, you know, we weren't exactly hustling to get lined up there. He said they were misaligned, and so he said he can deal with some of the one-on-one mistakes, but that one hurts him a little bit. But, you know, overall, I don't see a ton of that, to be quite honest. I think for the most part, they're playing hard, and, you know, I think some of it is just, yeah, you look at some of the guys who are out there. I mean, the one Ezekiel Elliott run really stands out to me, where it's Josh Sweat is getting caught upfield, T.Y. McGill is getting down blocked, Rasul Douglas is getting blocked by a tight end, and Trey Sullivan is getting hurdled. I mean, if I would have told you before the season, these are the four guys that are going to be involved in a key play in a divisional game, you know, you would have said, who are you talking about? So I think that definitely plays a part in it.
Here's the thing that I can't necessarily get a good sense of, Shield, with this team, and big reason is I'm not around them enough, but I wonder if they truly believe that they can win this division and make the playoffs and potentially go on another run, because that's the only way they turn this thing around. It's the only way they have a shot at winning Sunday is if they ultimately believe there's something worth playing for.
Yeah, you know, I think they do because of the state of the division, and it's such a weird season. You know, if they were, if like Washington looked like this juggernaut, or Dallas was running away with it, it might be a different story. But I do think they kind of look around and say, you know, those teams aren't really better than us. And so they can kind of talk themselves into, hey, we still got, what, four division games left, and if we can beat Washington twice, like, it's not the craziest thing. You know, I personally, I don't think that it's going to happen, you know, just because of what I've seen from this specific football team, not looking at the rest of the division. But if you were to tell me, hey, they are going to go on a run and get a little bit hot, and even if they lose the Saints and the Rams games, to be quite honest, that's not the end of the season. You can lose both those games and go 9-7, and if you beat Washington twice, you're actually going to be in a pretty good position to win the division. So it's not like the margin for error right now is actually zero. I mean, you want to see good sides Sunday against the Saints, but even if they lose that game, I mean, no one's going to be feeling good about it. But if you look at it sort of analytically, the season won't be over after that.
Hey, we're talking to Shield Kapadia of the Athletic. I've heard Doug a couple times has mentioned practice when he's talking about what the issues are. He said games are sometimes won during the week, and almost alluding to, hey, listen, we gotta. If you want to stop mistakes, if we want to be crisp, we have to do this with practice. But then yesterday he had said, I think Ruben Frank asked him about, well, what shows you that this team still can do it, still has the mental capacity to do it? And he brought up practice, and he said, oh, well, you know, the way the guys show up on time, the way that we're practicing out there. You think Doug's feeling the pressure of this season? Probably hard not to. 4-5, last year seemed like the things were just, he pushed buttons and it worked. This year it's not working. You think Doug's feeling the pressure this year?
You know, I think they always feel pressure. You know, I don't think he's feeling pressure for it or his job or anything like that, but I think he is probably frustrated at some of the messaging throughout the offseason, where he's telling them the day after the Super Bowl, you know, this is the new normal. And then, you know, they're sort of celebrating the Super Bowl. They're trying to put it behind them. They put the banner up in the locker room, and then Jenkins says, hey, take that down. This is a different team. And then after the loss, what was it, to Tennessee or Carolina, Doug comes out and says, the pressure's off of us now. No one believes in us. And everyone's looking at each other like, you know, what is he talking about? It's the first half of the season here. So you are right. It is hard, I think, as a coach to know which buttons to push and to get a pulse of your team and to kind of decide what message you're trying to give to the public. And it does feel like last year it was easy. You know, it was like no one believes in us. Everything's working. You get the injuries. Hey, we're underdogs. You know, you could really grasp onto that. He really didn't have to say much. The players were thinking that anyway, and this year has just been sort of a completely different animal, and it feels like none of that messaging has really conveyed or worked.
All right, Chill, do something that no one has been able to do, including John and I this week. Give us the blueprint of how the Eagles win this game Sunday, man.
Oh, man, how much time you got? I might have picked up the rest of the show. I mean, it's obviously going to be very tough, so I think their only chance is offensively, you know, I think you have to shorten the game, limit the amount of possessions that Drew Brees has. So I think this is a game where you really have to rely on stringing together 9-10 play drives. You know, don't snap the ball until 7 or 8 or 6-5, whatever, on the play clock. Convert third downs when you're in the red zone. Convert there, that kind of thing. You almost need a flawless game offensively from an efficiency standpoint. You can't afford any negative plays, turnovers, anything like that. And then, you know, defensively, honestly, as you guys know, there is no answer. There is no blueprint. But I would look a little bit probably to that Giants game where you showed more two deep looks. You had extra attention to Odell Beckham. Maybe you do that to Michael Thomas. But obviously the Saints have so many more weapons and can go all over the place with the football. You know, you almost have to rely on yourself to come up with a couple red zone stops here and there. And you know what? The Saints want to run the ball. I know Kamara's a great back. There's no doubt about it. But I would just say, go ahead. You know, that's my best chance. If he's running all over us, if he runs 450, 160 yards, I think that still probably is your best chance to win the game, is to take the ball out of Drew Brees' hands.
Hey, and before I let you out of here, and talk to Shuka Potty of The Athletic, and also you can find it, does a number of different things. I know you have the podcast with Bo, and you go on with Joe Giglio at night. So just follow him on Twitter at Shuka Potty for everything that he does. But a couple days ago, you dug into the difference in the Eagles scoring last year and scoring this year, because the yards are really still there. They're still getting the yardage. They're not getting the scoring. And chill, in the NFL, points have been up across the board, but the Eagles are down with six and a half, almost 7 points. So what did you find? Wait, what exactly is going on?
Yeah, you are right. I mean, if you look at the yards per play, if you look at sort of the third down conversions, how much they're turning it over offensively, all those things are almost identical to last year. And that's what Doug was saying earlier this week, and he was actually right about that. So there's just a few key factors. I mean, number one is that if you look at last year, they scored 5 touchdowns on defense. You know, that's 35 points throughout the course of the season. That makes up about 2 points per week. And this year they've gotten no touchdowns from defense or special teams. They're among the worst in the NFL at takeaways, so you're working with the long field. And then red zone is obviously a big one. I mean, they were first in the NFL last year. They're much lower here this year. And then there's big play touchdowns. You know, they actually still are producing quite a few explosive plays, but they've only had 3 passing touchdowns from outside the red zone all season long. I mean, which is crazy. They had 11 last year. So it's like they just have to work for everything, and nothing is coming easy for them offensively. Even when they're connecting on a 25-yard pass, it gets them, you know, no one's running away from defenders to the end zone. It gets them down to whatever, the 20-yard line, and then it still relies so heavily on efficiency in the red zone. So I know what Doug has preached to the team this week is red zone and takeaway. If we can fix those two things, we can turn the season around. Easier said than done. He's been saying that for a few weeks now, but those two things would really go a long way for this football team.
No doubt. Shield, talk to you next week, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Shield. Here he is, Shield Kapadia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's you would think that, I mean, it really is kind of simple, right? Why they're not scoring. They're not getting short fields. They're not getting the turnovers. And they're not finishing.
It boils down to everything being hard. Mm-hmm. Like, they aren't getting the easy scores. Mm-hmm. And I think when those things are happening like they were last year, or like they were, remember the year under Chip where they scored like 10 non-offensive touchdowns?
Yeah.
Defense and special teams?
Yeah, you can't, and then none the next year or whatever.
Right. So
can't count on that.
But that year led to them going to the playoffs, mm-hmm, and being 10-6. Yeah. So people, you have to realize that stuff is a part of your overall success when your team is winning 11, 12, 13 games.
That's why you're winning those games.
That's why you're winning that amount of games, because those other things are happening as well.
You can't count on that year to year.
And that's the difficult thing, is trying to recreate that every year. And I don't know if there's anything else Jim Schwartz can do on that side of the ball, but getting takeaways was a big part of their success last year, and it certainly was a huge part of them going on that run in the middle of the season.
Huge part.
It's
like every week there was
a different game. They had like 5 turnovers in that Chicago Bears game.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can go back and you can think of the one game Fletcher set up Brandon for a defensive
the
touchdown.
Game, yep.
And then didn't Brandon set up Fletcher later on in the season for a defensive? So yeah, it happened.
Chris Long had a couple of strip fumbles that went for a touchdown. Was St. Louis, the Rams game.
Yeah, you're right, because the sack numbers are comparable to last year.
They aren't getting the ball out. They're not getting the ball out. Yeah.
And you are correct, Mr. Reese. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. We have a 2-minute drill coming up, and we'll get back into the 76ers stuff as well. Ben Simmons. How good is Ben Simmons? Still an all-star level player? Probably.
In the East, he wouldn't be an all-star in the West. That's for damn sure.
Probably not. true franchise player? As good of a player as we thought we were getting?
He's Scotty. Scotty is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but hold on. I would take that in a New York minute.
Holy cow, a New York minute. You're saying if he was Scotty Pippen,
yeah.
Right?
Long shoot.
I meant Scotty in the sense of Batman Robin role, yes.
I think they might just trade it for Robin. Where does that leave Ben?
How about that? Yeah. Now you got to be what? Alfred?
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to be Alfred.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.